It's Ian Pickus, and we're in the Congressional Corner today, wrapping up our conversation with New York Congressman Pat Ryan, a Democrat from the 18th District. He's been in office since 2022. Here's a question for you. You're on transportation and infrastructure. Given what happened with the Key Bridge in Baltimore, are you concerned about any of the bridges closer to our neck of the woods and, you know, their ability to stay standing?
Yeah, thanks for having me in. The short answer is yes. I mean, this is something we've already actually started conversations immediately after the situation in the Port of Baltimore to look at and make sure we're doing updated assessments of any vulnerability, specifically for all the Hudson River span bridges, most of which are in my district with the Bridge Authority. So we've been discussing that with them. The initial read is that we're in much better shape in a bunch of ways, both in terms of the level of readiness and stability of the bridges, but also we have much smaller boats and craft that do transit the Hudson River versus the size of craft coming in and out of Baltimore. So the short answer is we feel pretty good, but we are going to dot every I, cross every T, and really go back and take a hard look at this and make sure that we're reassessing the risk. Obviously, more broadly, separate from the river, we have far too many bridges in the Hudson Valley that are in a state of dangerous disrepair. So I'm always pushing to get additional funding to the state and localities to upgrade those bridges. And we have been doing that. We've sent additional money this last year to do so in the state.
Where do things stand with your efforts to ban barges from parking on the river?
And by the way, this is very directly tied to another one of the considerations of why the barge ban is important. So we had a big win just a few weeks ago, where we actually got passed out of committee this bipartisan bill that myself and my two colleagues to the north and south, Mark Molinaro and Mike Lawler, in a bipartisan way. We really honestly had to battle pretty hard against. Believe it or not, there's a very strong and well-funded barge lobby out there. Yes, that exists. And they were really pushing back on this legislation. So we were able to get it out of committee and through. And now it's in position to ultimately, we think, hopefully pass the full House sometime this year. So these things take much longer and are much harder than they should be. But that was a big win for us. And I want to credit my colleagues for their help in getting that through.
How does all that work? Because obviously all of you are in really closely watched elections. And I think it's fair to say, you know, you've made some endorsements, and when November comes, you'd rather have the Democrats in charge than those Republican colleagues. But yet you were able to kind of set that aside.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of many issues where we've got to actually drive results and work with the team that we have. And you know, on a personal level, I work really closely, especially with Mark Molinaro. We've got a longstanding relationship going back to when we were, sort of sister county executives, if you will. And a lot of it does revolve around the river, around this barge ban, for example. The PCB issue we talked about on previous episodes, that's something actually Mark and I joined a lawsuit against GE going back, actually against the EPA, pardon me, going back 4 or 5 years in a bipartisan way. So the Hudson Valley is special, I think. There's a lot of issues, especially around our environment, around conservation, clean water, clean air, where there is a lot of room for bipartisan work. So that's some reason for hope and optimism in our politics today.
Let's go to another area. One of the big issues, actually, in your race with Mark Molinaro back in that special election, well before you were colleagues, was the issue of a woman's right to choose. And there have been a lot of developments of late in terms of abortion, IVF, the ability to get abortion drugs through the mail has been a practice, a common practice. So how do you see this issue factoring into our debates in the next 6 months or so?
Well, it's a real, I know this is top of mind for a lot of folks in my district and across the country, because despite the resounding message, I think, across the country that Americans want their reproductive rights and freedoms protected and their health decisions made by them and their doctor and not by some politician. Despite that message being sent, I think, quite clearly, we've seen folks on the far right double down, triple down on things like a national abortion ban, court decisions that block IVF and block the ability of individuals to start a family, block even access to contraception, and things we've really, you know, taken for granted for certainly my whole lifetime and most of our lifetimes. Those are all at risk now, and not just in the, you know, sort of the quote unquote red states. There's legislation, for example, called the Comstock Act. This was passed in the 1800s. It's still on the books in the federal, nationally. It's a federal bill, and there have been proposals out there that in a hypothetical second Trump administration, this legislation could be used to put in place a nationwide abortion ban, and specifically to stop the ability for individuals to receive abortion medication like mifepristone via mail. So one of my colleagues and I actually have a bill called the Protecting Reproductive Freedom Act that's intended to protect access to mifepristone and to other FDA-approved medications like it. So, sorry, a lot there, but this is an important fundamental fight, I think, for American freedom.
Former President Trump said, he said first it should be a state issue, and then when he was pressed later, he said he would not sign a national abortion bill if he were back in the White House. Do you believe him?
I find it hard to believe him on really anything at this point. It's clear he's sort of trying to triangulate politically. And this is a guy that over and over has bragged about putting in place the three justices that blew up Roe and put in place the Dobbs decision. So I think it's very disingenuous, and I think folks see through that kind of BS. For example, the Speaker of the House today, as we speak, Mike Johnson, is the guy who co-authored the national abortion ban bill. He is third in line to the presidency right now and the leader of their party in the House, and that's what he stands for. So I think we have to take people at their actions rather than these sort of empty promises we hear from Trump and others.
What's your read on the presidential rematch as it stands?
I think it's a very stark choice. And I actually think we talked a little bit about this a few months ago after the State of the Union. It came across very clear to me in the President's State of the Union, where on one side, it's a positive, unifying vision focused on the future that's about leveling the economic playing field. It's about protecting fundamental American freedoms. It's about moving forward things like the infrastructure law, like common sense immigration reform and strengthening border security, things that the vast majority of the American people agree on, moving that forward. And on the other side, it really is increasingly a backward-looking, fear-mongering, division-driving, and grievance-driven campaign from the former president, and I just don't think that's what we need and what people want. So I'm optimistic and confident that, as is usually the case, the American people will pick the optimistic and hopeful option in those two. I certainly will.
We have just a minute left. Is there any hope that immigration deal that the Senate negotiators and the White House brought to the House could get back on the table before the end of this term?
It has to. I hope so. And I and all my colleagues have made clear that, you know, the Democratic Party, we understand, and I've been saying this for well over a year now, we are at a crisis level, a humanitarian crisis, around what's happening at the border, and we need to take that seriously. And that Senate legislation would be hugely impactful in addressing the problem, increasing border security funds, almost 2,000 additional Border Patrol agents, thousands more judges to speed up the processing of asylum, a lot of substantive work. So we're at the point of, do you want to fix the problem, or do you want to really fight about fixing the problem? I and my colleagues are ready to fix it, and hopefully we'll see the House Speaker Johnson finally let it come to a vote on the floor, because it'll pass if we just bring it to a vote.
You still like being in Congress?
I do, actually. I do. Aside from being, you know, not seeing my family as much as I would love, and my kids, it's a really important time. I mean, these are critical fights. And so I'm you know, proud to be in the fight, energized to be in it. And yeah, it's an honor.
New York Congressman Pat Ryan is a Democrat from the 18th District. He's been in office since 2022, and he's been a regular guest on the Congressional Corner for all that time, which we really appreciate. Pat, we'll catch you soon.
Thanks, Ian. Have a good one.